Let's get ready to wrinkle!
Is that like Robert Pattinson?
Robert Pattinson? Is it Pattinson?
I don't know.
Vampire Milky Skin?
I think this guy has two toys. He has the Robert Pattinson doll from probably whatever the hell that vampire thing was, and it's got Obi-Wan kicking him in the face.
So either he's got someone that he lives with who owns that doll, or he bought it just to take the picture.
Probably his sister or something.
Let's hope. I kind of like the idea of someone going out and buying it just to take pictures of Obi-Wan kicking it in the face. That kind of makes me happy. That makes my heart smile.
We just got followed by Cannabis Mobile.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good.
Here's another one of a 12-inch Darth Vader without a helmet dipping a French fry into... These are hilarious.
Dipping a French fry into what? I'm right here on the edge of my seat.
Dipping sauce of some sort. Get on Twitter and take a look. It's hilarious.
I will do exactly that. And hopefully all the people tuning in tonight have done the exact same thing, because you, my friends, have tuned in to episode 4.
Ooh.
4. This is our new hope.
Yeah, this is a new hope.
Actually, wouldn't our new hope be episode 1 and we would just go back and retcon it to 4?
We should.
Isn't that the way it's supposed to be done? I mean, isn't that the accepted practice at this point?
Or could we turn 1, 2, and 3 to like minus 3, minus 2, minus 1? Or
I don't know, because then when we have like, you know, what is it, like at 30 or 40 episodes, you're supposed to start disseminating into all the different lists and stuff like that, and so then we'll be 3 or 4 behind. Is it really worth it?
Yeah.
And all the things you got to weigh when you got a podcast going on. Hey, but ladies and germs, welcome aboard to Fly Casual, episode number 4, podcast where we like to celebrate all things Star Wars. And when I say celebrate, I mean analyze, pick apart, throw mud at, stick to the wall, color on, love on, dry hump, all those things.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we're into, and we like to think that you share the same perversions. I'm your host, Mr. Corey T. Wilson, and with us, of course, remote this evening, Mr. Mike Archbold.
Hey, Corey T., how you doing?
I am doing fantastic. I'm so excited to be here in my own basement. Words cannot express what it's like to feel safe, nice, and underground in case of
inclement
weather.
Yeah.
Everything
this
is a warm
strange
wash.
July weather that we're having here in Indiana.
It is. It's
a little on the balmy side.
For a few days cold.
Yeah.
Like and windy. Yeah. It was weird. We walked out the other day and I didn't have a jacket on. I was like, oh my gosh, it's October. It's late October.
Yeah, it felt kind of weird.
And then of course today it's balmy again. Yeah. But I'm liking it. I'm liking the change ups. What are things like down in the southern part of the mid southern part of the state there, Mr. Garrick Hardy?
About the same.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Go Midwest.
Yeah. YOLO. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go my favorite Midwest. Yay. That's good to hear. And of course, at Master Control over there, we have Stephen J. Howie.
What up?
Oh, everything's up, my friend, because I'm happy.
Yeah. Ba-da-ba, beep, ba-do.
Nailed it.
Wow.
Nailed it. Oh, my word.
Howie's reeling from all the adjustments, man.
And you might hear our fifth guest. Yeah, originally, we were actually intending to have a fifth sit in tonight who's actually a Canadian immigrant that we thought could provide a little extra, a little different perspective on things. We know that they all think differently up in the Great White North.
Just a little bit, yeah.
But unfortunately, he fell ill. I didn't think they caught colds up there. I thought they were impervious to it.
Well, winter is coming.
Winter's always coming. And perpetually and never-endingly coming. But instead, we have a different guest here that I would like to introduce. His High Exaltedness, once Grand Leader of Clan Dasilajik. Am I saying that right? I'm getting a nod.
Yes.
Demigod and ruler of Mordor, mother of dragons, uniter of the 12 kingdoms, with degrees in both psychology and parapsychology.
Wow. Oh,
our glorious guest, the Reverend Jabba the Hutt. How are you doing there, sir? Very mirthy.
Very mirthy.
I cannot believe we got him to remote in tonight.
That's I can't tell you how hard it was. No. He's here in the room with us. I mean, he might sound a little distant. We're using some backup equipment because he's actually, his face is in the door. He can't make it through the standard 32-inch door.
Yeah.
So
ask him how he got into the basement.
We had to take the railing off the stairs. It was a giant production. Whoa. But Exalted One, it's an honor to have you on. I'm really kind of beside myself here. What exactly have you been up to since the incident over at the, you know, over the Dune Sea? I'm kind of curious.
Come back, Vapodo.
Oh, heavens. Oh, wow, he brought a friend.
Can we air that?
He did. Who knew? Who knew? You know, I didn't even know you had any zoological experience, but that's really something. I will say that despite the difficulties we've been having, actually, you know, getting into the studio here, you're looking a little bit trim, I don't mind saying, but I'm wondering what exactly has been falling in the diet lately.
Silly Jedi, silly Jedi.
Ooh, really? Atkins, really?
Yeah.
Really? Huh. Wow. Who knew that it had gotten along that far? It's good to know that's working out for you, but I hope you're not doing the protein only thing. What are you doing to get fiber these days? Oh, golly. You're going to have a heck of a time moving that out, Jabba.
Did you know Chewbacca was gluten-free?
No, I was not aware at all.
Good to know.
I was not aware. Well, you know, before we move on, let's just bring people up to speed. Have you been, what's been going on romantically? You been any more Twi'lek dancers? You been seeing any of the huts in their lady forms? What are you doing for all around companionship?
Solo thought you market.
Oh, okay, that's more than we needed to know. That's, you know what, we should probably move on. Thank you, Jabba, for being here.
Thank you, Jabba.
Can you cut that out?
We might have to earn an explicit tag. Yeah, we're gonna have an explicit tag, but that's great. Thank you, Exalted One. But yeah, stick around. We'll be anxious to get your take on the various goings on as we progress through the evening here. But hey, why hold back anymore? We know why people are tuning in. Let's get straight into news. You guys, we got some exciting news this week. Mike, you've got a whole laundry list of things for us to go over, don't you?
We do. We always do. It's a never-ending stream coming in. And well, let's just start off this week again with a weekly or bi-weekly now Harrison Ford update. Why not?
Seems like broken down Ford update.
Broken down Ford, yeah. Seems like we're chiming in. Well, at this point, as we reported previously, it looks like Ford is on the mend. Things are looking up. Not as grim as initially thought. The latest report really that we have on his condition, actually the condition is fine. Like we reported last time, you know, he's up, he's moving around, he's back in the UK. He's on his unileg, I guess, right now.
Unileg?
the little crutch they've got him connected to. But as far as production goes, what we're hearing now is that it's only going to set back production about 2 weeks. And it looks like they're going to take 2 weeks off in August. And there is no planned delay in release date. So everything seems to be pretty much on track there.
Well, good. Good. So, it seems like it was maybe much ado about nothing. Perhaps?
I mean,
except, to be honest with you, this is how star breaking parts of himself on your set.
Right, exactly. I mean, kind of a thing. Obviously it was a big deal, but perhaps not as big as everybody was theorizing and letting on. We're in the information age right now, so everybody can get on and kind of say whatever they want. So there was a lot of speculation, and thankfully, at least at this point, everybody seems to be having things on schedule and on track, and looks like it's really only going to affect production about 2 weeks.
Wow. That's almost nothing. Now, here's my question to you. Is that because it's really only going to affect production 2 weeks, or because because that's what they had to tell the Disney executives to get them out of the pool.
That's exactly right.
So they could go back to work.
As we reported last time, there seems to have been a bit of a showdown at the OK Corral, so to speak, with J.J. Abrams and Disney. And last time we reported that initially, really, Abrams wanted to have a 2016 release on this anyway.
Jabba's excited about seeing the movie. He does not approve of the 2016 timeline. Tell it to Eisner, whoever's it, who's in charge of Disney.
Oh,
these
man.
Tell it to Steve Jobs. Oh, this isn't Mickey, working out for me.
Mickey is, right?
What's that? Mickey? Yeah, Mickey's in charge. That's right. Yeah. He's a real taskmaster, too. Don't let the clubhouse fool you. That guy's a butthole sometimes.
Well, we've talked about the ambitious schedule here, too. You know how it's going to work out. We're going to do episode 7. Off year is going to be a spinoff. You know, episode 8, blah, 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 all the way through to the end. Now, if you remember back to the original trilogy and even the prequels, there was like 3 years between movies. So this is, I mean, when you really look back at that and look at what they're trying to do here, this is very ambitious for Star Wars quality movies.
It is. It's incredibly aggressive. But at the same time, if they're relying more heavily on traditional sets and costuming and stuff like that, then it stands to reason that it wouldn't take as long to make a movie because the prequels were, I mean, from the ground up, they were, you know, how long does it take to make a Pixar film? Because that's pretty much what a Star Wars movie was with some actors pasted in front. The prequels, I mean.
Right. Yeah, and that is where this new trilogy is very different from both of the original trilogies, the original trilogy and the prequels, because really at the time, you know, Lucas and his supporting cast were creating special effects from the ground up. I mean, it was never, those things were never done before. And even with the prequels, you know, people perhaps don't give him enough credit because, you know, the overuse of CGI and some critiques in that regard, but really they were doing a lot of groundbreaking work with special effects as well, even there.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, with this trilogy, however, you know, back to the basics, so to speak, and you're right. Yeah, probably, you know, with less of that, and more traditional filming methods, I guess you can pull it off that quick. So at least that's what Disney's trying to do.
Right.
We'll see. We'll see if they are able to pull this off for this whole schedule of movies. It'll be very interesting to see if they can keep that on track.
You know,
so far they're doing it though.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mike, you know, you mentioned groundbreaking. One of the things that I like to say that as a podcast, we hold ourselves to a certain level of decorum, which is very, very low. Very low level of decorum that we ascribe to. However, there are people who have been doing this, not necessarily maybe podcasts, but, you know, fans who've been reporting the news and reporting rumors and things like that for a long time, really established folks. And my understanding is maybe perhaps all of the all of our elders in the community of fan news aren't exactly getting. I'm thinking there might be a little bit of quarreling going on in the old folks' homes.
We've had some interesting developments the past couple weeks, I guess. The elder statesmen, so to speak, our friends over at the Force Cast and the Force Net. They're my friend.
They don't know us, but we know them.
Right. There you go.
There you go. Kind of friends.
I guess be straight about that. We don't know any of those guys and they don't know us. But apparently there's been a little bit of a quarreling kind of, or some bantering back and forth between our friends over at the Force Net and Latino Review. And I think
what is going on? We have wonderful people at the Force Net who have been, you know, the premier fan driven blog that has turned into a quite a formative organization over the years, you know, in very official capacities, and also Latino Review, which is oftentimes at the forefront of breaking kind of the leaked news and some of the rumors that end up being heavily substantiated. I mean, you don't get them all, you know, but their percentages are pretty decent when it comes to being at the real far front end of stuff. So how on earth would two people so loving of the, or two organizations so loving of the craft, be at odds with each other? I wonder.
Well, here's what I'll do. I'll just kind of throw out what we've heard and then just kind of get reaction from everybody on this. It's kind of interesting how this has developed. Apparently a few weeks ago on the Force Cast, there were some comments made about a lot of the rumors going around regarding the film and you know, what's true, what's not true, and kind of going back and forth.
What was their stance on rumors?
Their stance is that they were a little miffed by it, that it's kind of I don't know, annoying, so to speak. That you have
annoying
to sift through some of this and determine what's true and not true.
The journalistic integrity that we ascribe to at the Force.net, and frankly, I'm insulted to even be affiliated with the industry. That's, I'm seeing like an old timey black and white, you know, standing at a podium and one guy in a wheelchair next to him because he's got polio, you know, just we are the false net deny any whatsoever acknowledgement as a ludicrous and fully unsubstantiated. I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, I guess some of the comments were kind of directed at Latino Review. Latino Review breaks a lot of these stories, and you know, and a lot of the rumors that go around about storylines and casting and characters and things like that, and that didn't sit well with one or two of the hosts over there, and some words were said on one of their casts. And to be honest with you, I'm perfectly fine with them voicing their opinion on that stuff. I mean, I think you should be able to say what, you know, what you feel, what you don't feel, that type of thing. I don't necessarily agree with them. I think we here at Fly Casual kind of enjoy some of the, you know, the rumors and whatnot,
it's
and talking
all for
about
funsies.
It. Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know? The way we take it is more of, you know, let's throw the rumor out there and say, you know, hey, would this be cool or what is it not? You know, that type of thing. Because the truth of it is, none of this, I mean, all this is just, it's just rumor and speculation, and none of it's confirmed.
It
so
don't mean a thing until I'm sitting in front of the text crawl on opening day.
Exactly. So, I don't know. To me, that's some of the fun of it, hearing, you know, and we've been critical of some of the, you know, some of the rumors that have come out, and some of it's just kind of goofy and eye rolling and all that good stuff, especially for uber nerds like ourselves that, you know, hear some of this stuff. It's like, oh no, that can't be, come on, that's just dumb, you know, but that's part of the fun of it, is bantering back and forth about, you know, about that kind of thing. So, but again, I'm totally with the Forcecast guys voicing their opinion. I just don't necessarily agree with it.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like you're in a family, you're in a big house, and you're in a family full of people, and, you know, you're kind of a teenager, right? You don't want to necessarily sit at the kids' table all the time, but when you're sitting at the adults' table and everybody starts complaining about taxes and Obamacare, you're like, all right, you know what? I'm going to go and talk about Power Rangers with the kids because it's fun too. Right. You know, it's like sometimes it gets a little annoying and I go back and okay, we're going to talk about whatever's on CBS sitcoms these days so I can sit at the adult table. But then, yeah, it goes back to, you know, how much you paid for your hearing aids this year. All right, we're going to go back and talk about the, you know, the annals of Play-Doh. And that's fine, you know, it's fun being in the middle.
Yeah.
Hey, Play-Doh's awesome.
Yeah.
Make no mistake.
I have a long history.
So anyway, it was just interesting that some of this came out this week. I guess Umberto Gonzalez, who I believe he's the founder of Latino Review, kind of tweeted out or there were some exchanges back and forth a little bit, kind of calling them out on some of that. And I don't agree with that either. I'm just like, you know, live and let live, man. I mean, let people have their opinions.
Well, that's kind of the other thing, though. If you're going to be like the nerdy guys in the cafeteria that sit in the corner and, you know, hey, let's debate this, blah, blah, blah. And then some like the class clown comes by and is like, hey, I think Pokemans is crazy. You don't pick a fight with, you know. I think Pikachu is the best fire-based Pokemon. Actually, Pikachu is electricity-based Pokemon. You don't do that because you're gonna lose that fight, no matter how right you are.
Well, you know? let's face it. The rest of the school is looking at you like, oh boy, look at the nerds.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, okay. We totally appreciate you guys for helping us with our homework, and we're still gonna come to you about that. Don't make us deny that we know you. Right. Don't make us avoid you in the hallway. Because then the class clown might lump us in with it, and he's kind of funny, you know. He wears his hat backwards. Cutting edge.
It's like a rumble between the Star Wars kids and the Star Trek kids after school. And
like that scene from Fanboys when they go to the
they're in Captain Kirk's hometown in Iowa. You know what? There's a movie that I've not ever heard get enough love. Movie. If you're dialing into this podcast and you haven't seen Fanboys, that is definitely worth a watch about a dying kid who's not going to live long enough to see episode one. And this is before everybody knew that it was tepid. I'm being friendly. And
that
so,
was nice.
Yeah,
was
you're welcome.
Nice.
You're welcome. I'm trying to reel it in for the listeners.
Everybody remembers how they felt before episode one came out. There was a lot of excitement. Don't
and
lie.
Then everybody remembers how they felt when they walked out of the theater. Right, Jabba? Oops.
Jabba. Oh, no.
Where'd you go, Jabba?
He's taking a dump.
I think he's silent on the matter. I pulled his mic
cable. Hold on. Hold
he's
on.
No, he's eating it.
He's eating
crap.
It. Oh. Dang it. That's not.
Stop it. I told you not to put the mic next to his hookah.
I'll have to get another one.
Oh, crying. He tried smoking the mic?
Damn. No, he just straight up gobbled it. He grabbed, there's like a little frog creature running across the floor.
To get the snacks.
I couldn't make it to the pet shop. Anyway, so yeah, that's unfortunate that all of us fans find the need to quarrel about such things. Hey, yeah. People are going to disagree with my complete and utter distaste for episode one, you know, especially because right. They feel cornered because a lot of people hate episode one. So those who don't can often be defensive of it. Totally cool. Let's high five.
Hey, Corey, I like episode one, so I'm just like...
You are such an a-hole. Look who's back.
Yeah, right.
Coughed it up. He coughed it up.
Episode one had some good qualities to it.
It did. It had some... It wasn't all bad. Minus Jar Jar and pod racing, it was all right.
I liked the pod racing outside of taking too much time up.
Yeah,
you
know,
it served no point to the plot overall, but no. It wasn't bad.
Well, I would say most of it served no point to the plot overall.
What That's was the plot, point. Really?
Well, I mean, the plot of the whole trilogy. The first movie was...
okay.
Well, they had to introduce all the characters.
No, and... they got to introduce like three of the characters that ended up mattering.
Right.
And even then, you know, they were so...
Qui-Gon still matters to me.
He does. I like Thank Qui-Gon. You. Thank you, Garrick.
Oh, Shishka Qui-Gon.
All right. So anyway, in the end, we just hope that everybody can get along and
let's all just join hands. You know what? In fact, I'm going to call it out. I'm going to call it out to the Twitters.
Do it
to the Twitter, ladies and gentlemen, listeners. If you don't follow us on Twitter, you're missing out because it is a wealth of information and silly memes and things like that. Stuff to brighten your day.
Especially now that we all have access to it.
Yeah. Mike. It's not just Mike. It's not just Mike doing 100% of it. Now Mike's only doing 97.8% of it. So we've really stepped up our game.
And I'll tell you what, with followers like Snotnose McNipples,
you know the retweets are going to be great. But you're going to want to follow us at Fly Casual 1138. And here's the thing. Well, this is what I want our listeners to do. Get on Twitter and write a 140 character or less haiku. To inspire Latino Review and the Force Net to get along.
Yes.
Something that will brighten their days, make them drop their weapons, cross the lines, and embrace each other in an awkwardly loving, you know, hold that lasts just like a few seconds too long. Yeah,
should we trim this on a hashtag?
Yeah, we need a hashtag. I never have a hashtag in advance. We need to throw out a hashtag. Latin Force.
Can't nerds all just get along?
Latin Force.
Force. Hashtag Latin Force. And then try to squeeze a haiku into that. If you got to break it into two tweets, it'll be forgiven. We know how to. We can manage it.
And just for those who don't know, haiku is five syllables, seven syllables, then five syllables.
Five syllables, seven syllables, then five syllables for those of you who skipped seventh grade. Or just didn't make it that far. You never know. You never know. Please.
Maybe they're just not there yet.
Tweet. And if you don't have room to tag us, that's fine. We'll watch the trend. We'll watch the hashtag at Latin Force. Bring them back together. But let's move on. Gentlemen, Mike, what else you got for us?
All right. Well, we got casting updates. So we had three more announcements this week, and kind of keeping in the tradition of using untested talent, so to speak, kind of what Star Wars is known for somewhat. We've got kind of three relative unknowns. We have Pip Anderson was announced last week,
right, along with
Crystal
halfling.
Clark. Yep. And then this week we had Christina Chong. The only one of those three that I have heard anything about that I'm even remotely familiar with would be Christina Chong. Apparently she works on the show 24 with John Boyega. So I guess there's a little bit of carryover there. So there was one thing, though, that I noticed, and I kind of want to get you guys' reaction to this.
Pip Anderson's not really a halfling. I feel like I need to recant what I said earlier.
Actually, it's about Pip Anderson. I've heard some...
Is that the sister of the lady who's married to the...
Yeah, no. Pippin.
Oh, Pippin.
I don't know,
like,
man.
Like the Hobbit.
Yeah.
Yes. As I said, he's a halfling, but he's not.
Oh.
It's Pip. D&D terms. Okay, you got me.
No, Pip Anderson apparently is known for, and I don't know the proper term for this, so I'm going to describe it the only way I can think to do it. Have you guys heard or seen on YouTube these urban gymnasts, these guys that run around?
Parkour.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
All right. Apparently,
First off, wait, before you go on, anyone who's seen that episode of The Office, that where they're just running and jumping over the and yelling out parkour. Yeah. If you are a fan of sci-fi and fantasy and you do not read the Dresden Files, and no, I'm not talking about the sci-fi television show that was short-lived, but the novels, the latest one has such an ode to that Office episode throughout. It is brilliant. So just a quick recommendation right there. I'll probably pimp Dresden Files in every episode. If you like the reading thing, you owe it to yourself to do that. Also, lots of Star Wars references in those books.
Or you can listen to it like Howie.
Yep. Yep. It's funny because it's
Howie
true.
Doesn't read.
But anyhow, Mike, please.
So anyway, Pip Anderson, any reaction to that? I mean, it sounds like if this is true, that he's really one of these guys that have that capability, it sounds like he's kind of probably going to be more on the action side, I would imagine.
And, he'll kind of perform the free running Darth Maul.
Yeah, maybe. You know,
whereas before it was like, oh, he's good at fight scenes and stuff. Now it's like, this dude can run.
So well, it's funny that you bring up the Darth Maul character and the actor that played him, because obviously he was pretty much a gymnast and known for, you know, his fighting skill and martial arts and those types of things. And he brought that kind of depth to episode one. Now, episode two.
I don't know if depth.
Well, depth
is a word that I would describe as something that Ray
How many
Park
lines
provides.
Did he have in that movie?
Not depth in terms of character. Not depth in terms of character. Depth in terms of action on screen. You know, just like, wow, look what he can do. You know,
he can do spiral kicks at weird moments. Yeah,
exactly. See, in my opinion, when you got to episode two, and you know, we have the big battle of Geonosis and all that, we see the Jedi fighting in mass for the first time.
Right.
A lot of those Jedi fighting off in the background look kind of robotic and they don't look very agile.
That's
to me.
Very true. You know, when you're literally casting out of the graphics lab at Lucasfilm, sometimes right. your Jedi aren't really, they're just random people holding lightsabers and it
exactly,
you know, whereas you have other movies in Hollywood where you take a few big name actors and you say, all right, you're going to be three paramilitary guys that get caught away from your group and blah, blah, blah. These guys will train with how to use guns, how to breach rooms and stuff like that with ex-Marines and stuff. And it looked like they literally just went, here's your stick, stand over there. I put some tape on the ground.
Yeah, just kind of swinging away like they're just kind of random baseball bat. I mean, hell, if we're going to go with CGI heavy and all that stuff, hell, I'd have rather seen CGI guys, you know, decapitating, you know, three or four guys at a time and, you know, just really, you know, yucking it up.
Yeah.
You know, like a Darth Maul, but.
But we didn't really get Kit Fisto's wacky grin. You can't take that away from me.
That's true. Very true.
It's always with me.
Very true.
That guy's a charmer.
Those are our casting updates. Again, since there's not much history with these guys and they're relative unknowns, not much to say other than, you know. And at this point, too, I think they've already cast all the big roles.
Yeah.
So it's pretty obvious to me that these will probably be kind of more minor characters at this point. So.
Yeah. Well, hey, what's going on then? If that's the update for casting in movies, do we have any casting updates regarding the now more and more videos hitting the web about the Rebels television program?
There was a big announcement this week, actually. Ooh. That Jason
Good, I'm glad.
Isaacs.
Otherwise, that'd have been a really horrible transition.
Jason Isaacs, known from probably best known from the Harry Potter series as Mr. Malfoy.
No, Lucius.
Not Draco. Lucius Malfoy.
Come on, yeah,
Mr. Malfoy. No, Mr. Malfoy is my father.
Has signed on the show, and I can't remember the character's name. Garrick, do you remember the character's
name? He's playing the Inquisitor.
He is the Inquisitor.
Yes, okay. I believe so.
Oh, he's not actually reprising his role as Lucius Malfoy.
No.
Crossover, no mashup.
No, he's gonna with it. Carlington from the Revolutionary
Are you trying
War.
To name the Patriot?
Oh, jeez. Yeah, he's going back.
Bloody Tarlington.
Yeah. I remember when I saw that movie, I was like, this British dude is evil and stuff, and he's really good at it. Yeah, and so then I'm reading like Harry Potter, I'm reading A Goblet of Fire or whatever, and it comes out that he's gonna end up playing Lucius, and I went,
Oh, yeah, really? Right?
I'm a fan. That guy does good work, and he becomes a fan of the stuff he works on. He really is, you know, he's a cool guy.
Yeah,
I dig him.
That's an interesting casting move, because he's I mean, like we said, he's been in some movies, so that's kind of a big name for a 3D, you know, animated series. So that's kind of cool. So right.
Well, they got Freddie Prinze Jr. too. Don't forget that.
Yeah, huge. And I'm going top of the game.
That's
top
huge. Of the game. Back in '95.
I'm talking Scooby Doo. I'm talking She's All That.
She is all that. Classic.
Freddie's Prinze. I'm talking about that one video with Brack singing the driving down Highway 40 in my.
Pickup truck.
You were just supposed to say big.
Oh, big.
Oh, pickup
truck.
There you go. that was Freddie Prinze Jr.'s best work. I'm surprised that wasn't Emmy nominated. I'm just being honest with you. If I'm going to put it out there.
Wow. So, it should have been.
Yeah.
It should have been.
Yeah. So what Rebels else are we expecting news. From Rebels? Yeah.
Rebels had some interesting. Last time we had reported that there was a video that popped up on the web with. Everyone's favorite Jedi Obi-Wan Kenobi making an appearance in the series.
Whoa. Everyone's favorite Jedi Obi-Wan Kenobi. I think you're overstepping your bounds, sir.
All right. Everyone
I'm taking
likes
this lightsaber
Obi-Wan.
And I am melting a line in the ground. And I am saying that is
he's
too
not
far,
your favorite
sir.
Jedi. Okay.
All I'm right. about ready to get the Force.net people out here. And the hell he says.
Everyone's feeling absolute.
I shame things and stuff and other things.
Okay. Anyway, so we know that Obi-Wan's making an appearance in the series. Probably right. won't be a prominent role. Might be maybe one of those where he pops up once in a while, which we thought that was kind of cool that he would be a part of the series in some form or fashion. But yeah. We've had, I believe it was the release of there's an accompanying book that was released this week. It wasn't the novelization that we were talking about last time, but just a book. You know, regarding the show itself, that type of stuff. And there is some information regarding appearances by Bail Organa, C-3PO, and R2-D2 in the
there
series
it is.
As well. So,
right there.
Which kind of makes sense. Bail Organa.
The de facto owner, more right. or less. Even though their previous owner was Captain Antilles, he worked for Bail Organa.
Right, maybe. Right. Yeah, my understanding is that Bail Organa, and it sounds like that maybe... C-3PO and R2-D2 will have some kind of role, maybe a little bit bigger, but not a prominent role in the series.
Right, maybe just every now and then they pop in and out.
My understanding is that Bail Organa at the beginning of this is going to drop off the droids and give them to a friend to borrow.
Could it be Captain Antilles?
Oh, I don't believe it's Captain Antilles. Continuity. I believe it's somebody else, but
what in my brain is in my heart's always been Wedge's daddy.
Wedge's daddy.
Or uncle
yes,
or
Wedge
something.
Antilles.
Is that canon?
Which, by the way,
it's in my heart canon.
If we're talking about casting and stuff, I was telling you guys this, or at least a couple of you before we started up that, and I cannot remember his name. Somebody went IMDb him real quick. The actor that plays Wedge Antilles.
You don't know that off the top of your head?
He reads all the Star Wars books.
He does?
Yep. No, he doesn't. He hates Star Wars.
No, you're kidding me.
On Audible.
He's actually what? The one reads Star Wars books to me.
Yep. No.
No wonder I sleep so soundly.
I just listened to one, Mike.
With him?
Well, I mean, let me explain the reason why the disbelief is taking place, because the lead in here is that he has not always been the referred to Star Wars in the fondest of ways. You know, this seems
he
like one of those
not.
People who's, you know, who the vast majority of his popularity is because of this small role that he played at one point. And he does, you know, it's kind of anecdotal knowledge that Sir Alec Guinness wasn't really fond of playing Obi-Wan and thought it was all a bunch of drivel, but then was like, well, all right, if it's that popular, I'll come back and play a ghost.
Until
Jeez.
you find out that his contract included percentages
yeah.
of the gross. That
so
made him a rich man.
After all. But Wedge has been vocal about not really, you know, it was just, you know, it's just a thing. It's kind of dumb.
Dennis
My understanding
Lawson,
is
that's
that
Wedge, right?
Dennis Lawson.
He reads a lot of the Star Wars books,
which is interesting to me.
That is very interesting. I did not know that. And the reason being is because famously when the prequels were coming out, he is actually the uncle of
Ewan McGregor.
Of Ewan McGregor.
Yeah. Right.
And Ewan McGregor came to him when he was offered the role and said, "Should I take this?" And Dennis Lawson told him, "No, don't do it. You're going to ruin your career."
And because, you know, anybody, in Dennis Lawson's defense, Ewan McGregor's career is not ruined.
No,
but I would not call any of those three movies something that credits his career any better than any of the other work he's done.
What's
he done since then? Jack the Giant Slayer.
Well, he was a tertiary role. He was in that one where they had the typhoon in the Philippines.
The typhoon in the Philippines.
Sharknado.
Yes, that's the one.
Yep.
That's the one. So clearly he's at the top of his game.
So Dennis Lawson, here, as far as in regard to casting for episode 7, was offered the role of Wedge Antilles again in episode 7 and turned it down and was quoted as saying something to the effect of, "Oh, this would be too boring for me. I don't want this," which, you know, I will sit in a studio for days
and read a novel about the same kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, that's why when Howie, you said that, it was kind of scratching my head a little bit. I'm like, okay. I mean, he was at least embracing the Star Wars universe in some way. So why all the animosity? This kind of brings a broader perspective now that's kind of perplexing to me because, you know, why turn down the role then? I mean, you know, it probably would be a very, you know, minor role. You know, he comes in and he films for 2 weeks and makes a decent paycheck and he goes home. Right. Why turn it down? I mean, just, you know, for me personally, especially being a fan of the expanded universe, I love Wedge Antilles and what he did, you know, and his role in the whole thing. And so it kind of was disappointing to hear that he was not interested.
Does he read the X-Wing series on the audiobooks?
I will look.
That would be awesome.
That would be really great to read
Wedge Antilles' voice for.
Yeah, just hear the whole thing in Wedge's voice. In fact, they should like have Stackpole rewrite it so it's all in first person. Nice shot, Jensen.
He does not.
Sad face.
Henry Thomas and Anthony Heald.
I know very little about them, so I will not comment. But that sucks. I'll comment that much. Interesting. We all learned something new today. Let's hold hands for a second, guys.
Let's say a little prayer.
Stop touching me.
Stop touching me. Don't touch me there.
Oh.
or with that.
Wait, what?
I would like to point out, Mike, that in the show notes that you sent us, you put Bail Organa as Baal, the pagan god Organa.
I don't know, man.
If you'd added an apostrophe to that, he could have been a pagan god and a Bothan.
Dude, I voice dictated this, man, using my iPhone, so get over it.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
The word Bail, which also means to, you know, like pour water out of your canoe, should be auto-corrected to the pagan, like, Hecate god.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess when you put it next to Organa, I don't know. Who knows?
That's true. You're lucky you pulled Organa out. And not something else that you shouldn't pull out in public.
True.
So that aside, what else is going on in news?
Oh, what do we got? Let's see. Oh, big report this past week about J.J. Abrams, his choices for film formats. The big announcement this week was
surely he's going to be using Peter Jackson's technology where he shoots in 3D at 7,000 frames per second at 780K.
I'm assuming
he's just going to shoot the whole thing inside of a dome and that I will actually go sit in the dome and it'll be like 17 point surround. And the picture will be all around me, and I'll be able to walk around within it, and yet the whole thing will still look like it was shot with like an old JVC handycam, right?
Well,
right?
you would be wrong. Well, apparently JJ tweeted out a picture, or someone in his camp tweeted out a picture of him standing next to an IMAX camera.
Really?
So, and the news report that was out this week is that he's filming certain sequences in the IMAX format, which he is very fond of, I guess, from his experience on the Star Trek films,
mm-hmm.
and is a fan of it. And but the next part of this is what I found fascinating, because you would assume, given, you know, today's technology and the costs and involved and the processing, that he would choose to film the rest of it in digital format. That is not the case. He has opted to shoot the rest of the film in 35 millimeter.
And may I be a film snob for a moment?
Go ahead.
I am thrilled by this.
Really?
See, thrilled.
I'm not. I'm kind of scratching my head a little bit on it.
Well, you keep scratching.
Why are you thrilled about it?
I'm thrilled by it because, you know, I've talked in probably every episode so far about how J.J. Abrams, actually last week, our good friend Pappy, or Papa Jen.
Who?
He's going to kick you in
the
ass.
Wait a minute. Yeah, you better
I wasn't
watch
even
it.
In the room. You guys talked to him, not me. But he came in and he talked about how Abrams is someone who knows how to recreate a feel of something, knows how to treat an existing property. And I think that wanting to do it on film, I mean, yeah, it's kind of a softball. Any grunt come out of film school would be like, we're going to do this on 8mm. We're going to do this on an old film format because it's much more natural, feels more real. But in this case, I think it matters because he is trying to recapture the feel of the original films. Lucas wasn't. Nothing about the prequels was trying to recapture the feel. Very little.
I don't think that George Lucas wanted to recapture any of that.
No, he wants to constantly forge ahead, faster, more intense. Let's, you know, hey, the future. But I'm looking at Abrams. He goes, no. We this needs to feel like they did. Now, the good thing, nice thing about doing the IMAX stuff is that, you know, for the up-res, I mean, they'll scan the film at you know, I'm sure 4K and stuff like that. But the thing about doing the IMAX stuff is that when they are doing the big sweeping giant things, when you are in that large format viewing, it's much more impactful. But when you're just in conversations or tight quarters and stuff like that, you don't get anything out of that. So having that stuff then revert, like, I don't think you'll see the seams. I don't think the seams will show. I think it'll flow probably pretty nicely.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
And you'll still get that kind of slightly more classic feel. Film makes a difference. Whether or not it's a difference that matters to you, it doesn't matter to Peter Jackson. Peter Jackson's one of those people who said that, mole frames is better. And then you go and see it, and you're like, I'm getting motion sick, and it feels like video, because video is more frames per second than film.
It's funny that you mentioned the motion sickness, because I remember distinctly when Attack of the Clones came out, and I went to go see that in IMAX format.
It was the second time you saw it.
Oh, my God.
It was the second time.
Did you go with me that time?
We were in Cincinnati, my friend.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. During the Battle of Geonosis, I was getting sick. It was just terrible.
And that wasn't even a pure IMAX. That was actually one of the first adapted IMAXs that we have all over the place now. In the tri-state area, I don't even know what that means.
Sick too, but for other reasons.
But I mean, if you actually had seen that in a real IMAX, where like the seating is quite vertical, rather than like actual like normal stadium seating that's back, but you know, and you're right up on the screen. Right. Oh my word! I can't even imagine how much Dramamine I would have needed to get myself off that seat, off the floor, even.
Yeah, it was awful. So I guess in that regard, if I decide to see this in the IMAX format, which I probably will,
Later on Blu-ray in a you know, or whatever version, whatever we have at that time, I'm assuming still Blu-ray because it's barely mattering at this point. You know, down here on my projector, it's only 720p, but that will make a big difference on those big, you know, those big sweeping format type scenes, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I think it's good. I mean, do you guys think it's a big mistake? I mean,
I don't think it's a mistake. I just feel like the digital format is the standard now. I think it's very versatile. You can do a lot with it in post, and you're probably going to shoot me for saying that. But I mean, I think you can get the same look and feel using the digital format. Like you said, they're going to scan it in and it's going to be digital.
But you
anyway.
Can spend a lot of money trying to get that look and feel. I mean,
well, but you're going to spend a lot of money using 35 millimeter trying to,
that's true.
You know, go through all
that's
the film
true.
And
you've
all
got,
that
you've
stuff.
Got,
so.
You get colorists involved and that costs a lot of money and things like that. But
let's face it, not that money's going to matter in this, because they're going to make their money back. But
that's right. Mickey's a taskmaster, but he's got deep pockets.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is a great move.
Yeah.
Just in the sense of wanting to truly capture the feel as best as possible.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, he would know better. I mean, I'm just a layperson, so you're right. I mean, he'll probably.
Yeah, Howie and I are film industry insiders. You know
it. I'm just saying. I mean, I'm just.
You may not realize this, but I'm sitting on a camera right now.
So anyway, no, you guys are probably right. I mean, he's the master of capturing that look and feel. We've gone back and talked about what is it, Super 8, the movie that he had done that that really captures that Spielberg, you know, late 70s, early 80s yeah, feel. Yeah. And he knows how to do that. So yeah, I guess I'm just gonna have to trust his judgment in that regard.
Yeah, but you've gotten kinda so far away from it. I'm really hoping that we'll sit down and go, Mike, you remember sitting in the back of the theater watching Superman Returns with me.
Yeah.
And when the opening theme started playing and it was actually John Williams music and it was very, and then the text started like crawling, like sweeping down to the screen. You remember, like, I'm sitting there going, like I was losing it because they had been like throwing out all these misdirections saying it's not a sequel. It's not a sequel. It's not a sequel. But what they never really was saying was that we are fully trying to capture as if it were.
Right.
And just having all of that feeling back was just amazing. I don't even know if Star Wars did that, what would happen to me. Yeah. I might have to have a doctor on hand.
Right. No, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not, you know, like I said, I'm not skeptical of it. I was just like, yeah, why go there? But I see what you're saying. And I tend to agree. Right. You know, like I said, he's the expert. So we'll just have to wait it out and see how it looks. So.
All right. Cool.
All right. Next item we had, looks like they've just finished a location shoot in the Forest of Dean in the UK.
And Forest Dean. He plays for the San Antonio Spurs, I believe.
He does. Right. He does. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Guy. Yeah. Very tall man. At first, I thought Forrest was a nickname because, you know, tall the tree, but apparently not. That's his given name. I wonder why they were shooting with him.
You think he's gonna good be question. Playing a I really don't know. I guess he looks like the planet of Endor, I guess.
So the Forest of Dean.
Forest of Dean. It's a big lush green forest. So of course everybody on the internet is theorizing that it's some sort of return to Endor.
Because of course it would be. Why wouldn't we go back and see the Ewoks? So they, you know, they were important.
I haven't had enough of them yet.
Well, here's what I'm this is one of those things that I'm like, how's nobody else pointing this out? I mean, why couldn't this be Kashyyyk? Planet of the Wookiees.
Everybody wants to forget the fact that Kashyyyk was made into a completely different planet in the prequels You know, again, the entire concept of Kashyyyk comes from the EU, but when we saw it in the prequels, it was not what the EU said it was at all.
Right.
But it was close. It was a swing and a miss kind of a thing.
Right. Right.
And
for those who don't know, Kashyyyk is like a big forest, lush green forest planet.
Right.
In the expanded universe, it was pretty much portrayed as these giant trees, and there's like a canopy, so to speak, and the Wookiees live in the upper canopies of these trees.
And they don't go down on the ground except on special occasions.
Yeah,
they don't live on the ground.
Right, they go down there, I think, for when they go down there and do their, you know, become a man.
They're coming to the ceremonies.
And it's a very dangerous place, that type of thing. So, of course, when we get to the prequels, it's
sunny,
you know,
lush Bahamian beaches. There's a war going on dragonfly things flying through the air, and a Wookiee yawn like Tarzan, and a bunch of Wookiees playing volleyball, and oh look, a sand sculpture contest.
So yeah, we were already kind of getting away from that right away. But anyway, that was my only thought with the location shoot at the Forest Dean. Everybody's just assuming that it's Endor, and it's a beautiful forest.
The trees are nothing like Endor. Like, they're not the giant redwoods were used in Endor, or the forest moon. Right. But it's almost like it would look more appropriate sitting outside of Hogwarts. The trees are very horizontally gnarled and shaped. There's a lot of exposed roots and a lot of really pretty variation to the terrain and stuff like that. But it's a much more intimate forest than the giant redwoods. So it could be anything. I'm hoping that we don't get these archetypal environments as much as we did originally.
Right.
And if we do that, they're different. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see the same thing. I mean, we've already seen the Forest Moon of Endor and Kashyyyk. We don't really need another one.
I think we're leaving a couple possible planets. It could be.
Hit us up.
Go ahead.
You know, Yavin 4 also had the jungle.
That's true. Yavin 4 was jungle.
And then in the EU, Murker was a,
yeah. You're getting me too excited.
You know where I'm going?
You're getting me too excited. Stop it. Stop it.
And the trees, the Yosemite.
Yes. Yeah.
Point screws. Yeah. Yeah.
Which, by the way, now that you're hitting up Timothy Zahn stuff, I heard a real interesting kind of discussion today on another podcast that I was listening to, and I can't remember whose it was, but there is an actress who, what movie was she cast in? I think it was Guardians of the Galaxy, and she shaved her head for this movie.
Are you talking about the girl from Doctor Who?
Yeah, from the Doctor Who. That's right. And apparently, she prior to shaving her head, she had a very lush red hair. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Now get this: they meticulously removed her hair. They didn't just shave it off. They meticulously preserved it and turned it into a wig, and conspicuously gave it to Lucasfilm. So of course the nerds hear this and they're like, "What? A red wig? Who would that go to?"
Sweet justice.
I think it's a little bit of a stretch to imagine this, but last week Gillian, we had our little discussion about Mara Jade.
We should be saving this for the rumor segment, because I'm rising out of my seat with anticipation.
I should have saved this.
I'm totally nerding out, fellas.
Say this is true. Is Karen Gillian's hair going to be in the credits then?
She's got top billing. It'll be the whole cast at the beginning, and then it'll say and Karen Gillian's
hair.
Really,
that's her most distinguishing feature, really, her hair. Yeah.
So anyway, red. I just thought that was right interesting. Up on the marquee. It sounded like in the cast I was listening to, and boy, I wish I could remember whose it was, but in the cast I was listening to, it might have been Force Cast. I don't know. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting. I think they ended up mentioning that at the end of all of this, that she's going to end up getting it back, because I believe she's in a TV, the Doctor Who series or something.
Well, yeah, and it grows back.
Well, it does, not grows back, but it's going to grow back not fast enough.
Not for everyone.
You're right. Well, anyway, I just thought it was interesting. I don't know why they would give it to Lucasfilm to hold on to, you know, and then give it back later. That just was kind of weird. So, again, kind of some of the nerds are speculating that I wonder if this is a... you know, maybe going to go to a Mara Jade.
It's probably something less official. Like somebody just happened to know someone that works at Lucasfilm that's got a red hair fetish and he wears it inside of his pants every day.
Let's face it, Marvel, who you know, is the owner of the Guardians of the Galaxy and Lucasfilm are now sister companies. So, you know, so it's probably something simple like that. But of course, we as nerds like to speculate and kind of, hope and, maybe Mara is returning. I don't know.
Speaking of returning, Mike, the Battlefront series of Star Wars Vigigames.
Yeah.
The first two of which Garrick was quite fond of. I had a slight fondness for them myself. Are returning with Star Wars Battlefront 3, I believe.
They are Battlefront 3. And
that's all they're calling it, right? They're not calling it like the Battlefront. It's just Star Wars Battlefront 3, right?
And maybe that's a working title. I don't know at this point, but that's what they've been calling it. And we've reported previously, and we've got it linked on our Twitter and Facebook feeds, the trailer for it.
Right.
And the trailer is essentially just a little it's a little documentary thing where they, you know, one of the producers is on there and kind of talking about the experience, and they were able to go into the Lucasfilm archives and do scans and do all these cool stuff. And then at the end of that trailer, they show some of the rendered game footage, and what somebody has done, which I thought was kind of cool, was to go back to Battlefront 2 and kind of do a side-by-side comparison with Battlefront 2.
Is it that cool to do a side-by-side with a PS2 game at this point?
I feel like
that's just going, hey, look at how stuff sucked back then, you know?
Well, probably true.
We're going to do an E.T. sequel, so we're going to go back and repair the footage to the E.T. on 2600.
You guys are gaming snobs, so I'm sure that you guys just laughed this off.
Snobs, but I would not say we're gaming snobs. I say that we are
I call you gaming
articulate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, we've posted a comparison on there, and anyway, I thought it was kind of cool. So go check it out on those sites if you want to see kind of.
Can I pre-order that yet?
I don't know that there's any pre-orders or anything. I haven't seen anything like that yet. I think they're still pretty. I think they're still ways off. It sounds like it's a spring 2015 release, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So it's a little ways off yet. But
you know, a moment ago, you mentioned, Mike, if I may, the relationship between Marvel and Star Wars, seeing that they are now both the adopted children of the same, you know, foster family.
True.
At you know, Mickey's home for misguided children. and I, you know, I've always, when I was a kid, I was a friend of the family, like this, he was kind of older. He's like my sister's age. And this kid's just like, I don't want to be into kid stuff anymore. I want to be a big kid. Right. So he decided to get rid of all the stuff that he didn't want anymore. And so part of that was like, I got a big old box of just random space Legos, which was the bomb.
Oh yeah.
And I still have them and I play with them with my daughter. But anyway, a big old like paper sack of comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going through this and I'm like, X-Men, I never heard of that. Throw it aside. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What is this? X-Men offshoot, X-Mutants, X-this. I'm like, I don't know what any of this crap is back then. Because, mm-hmm. you know, mind you, I'm like five. And then I flip over and there's like Indiana Jones comics and Star Wars comics. And I was like, you don't say, you know, and I open it up and I like, there was like this female Darth Vader, which I thought was really crazy and stuff like that. And I was really new as a kid. And, you know, for a time when Dark Horse was carrying the Star Wars comics license, nobody knew what I was talking about. When I talk about these old, you know, people who are not comic nerds didn't know what I was talking about. We talk about these old Marvel comics. My understanding from what you tell me, sir,
okay,
is that I might actually be able to see these again. Is that true?
My God.
It is no.
I've caught him completely off guard.
Sorry, I was kind of doing some.
He got lost in my story.
No, here's
I was so
thing.
Descriptive that he was just floating on a cloud of my own childhood.
No. Here's what's going on with the comic books. The Marvel is going to re-release in an omnibus all the Marvel comic series from, what was it, 77 to like 86 or something. So, and they're going to release it in three different omnibus, you know, three different, books.
Right.
And apparently from what I'm hearing, actually there's some criticism of that because of the price. Apparently it's going to be, when you factor everything in, I think everything, each one of these is going to be over $100 a piece.
Oh,
man. So, I mean, you're looking at to get all three omnibus.
I think I just heard a Jolly Roger flag raised on 1,000 pirate ships all at once.
Right.
Are these hardcover? Do you know? Do we know?
Yeah, I believe it is.
Hardcover omnibuses, that's about what they run.
I've heard my understanding is that more like in the $80 to $85 range or something like that.
Well, I got the complete Age of Apocalypse X-Men omnibus, and it was retailed for I think $200.
Really? Well, yeah, thank I you. Guess
I didn't pay that much for it.
Anyway, well, the thing that I noticed though during this report though was that that Dark Horse, I guess, has actually already released these same comics in an omnibus format.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, this has already been done. So really, it's just a repackaging.
I thought Dark Horse had only released the things that were done under Dark Horse, like Knights of the Old Republic.
No, they had control of the Marvel at two, and they did this. It's at like 05 or something, if I'm not mistaken.
I had no idea that ever happened.
Yeah, it did. So this is, they've already been released and they're cheaper. I guess you can get the entire collection on Dark Horse for like $100.
Oh wow!
So
I'm
anyway,
be looking
again,
into that.
That's what some of the critique has been of this is this price differential, especially if it's just now. You know, if they ended up let's just put it this way: the Uber nerds are going to buy it no matter what. You know, even if they already have the Dark Horse copies, they're going to get these two just to be completists and have their their collections intact. But
a few visits to the Bloodmobile, a couple trips to the sperm clinic.
There you go. But so anyway, those folks are going to buy it no matter what. But what I would like to see, what I kind of hope that they do with this is maybe put some other type of materials in there, something that makes it a little more, I don't know, you know, tangible for somebody to say, okay, you know, I'll forego the Dark Horse version of this and get this because I'm going to get this extra material, whatever that would be, concept art, you know, notes of some sort, you know, draft notes or, you know, anything, you know, emails exchanged or not, I guess not emails, but notes exchanged between authors and things like that. You know, that would be, kind of
cool.
Is
there a sandwich baggie with red hair in the back of my... Whoa.
Oh!
Yeah, but Jabba knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, man.
Yeah, buddy. He likes the ladies. You know it. You know it.
So anyway, yeah.
But honestly... Those books kind of were so inconsequential for a while, but then as I started reading the EU, I started realizing that the, you know, some of the authors in the EU were fans of those old comic books as well, and they did actually draw some stuff from those. For example, if you read the Legacy of the Force series, the 9 series, Lumia, who is an old follower of the dark side, you know, mm-hmm. a Sith acolyte, if you will, was introduced in those Marvel comics, I believe. It was right on the cover. What's that?
I said I loved her character,
yeah,
by the way.
She actually wore in those comics a whole Darth Vader outfit and had the light whip.
Yeah.
That was in those books light and everything. Yeah. And I've never gone back and actually compared notes, but I'm like, I remember the light whip lady. I know where that came from, you know?
Yeah.
And it made them more impactful to me. So yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't know Dark Horse ever did that. I got to go out and fish around for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe call up the discount comic store down the street.
Not a big comic book guy, but yeah, that's my understanding from the reports that I've read. So that was kind of interesting. And hearing some of the critique of that was, you know, as far as cost goes. So I guess, again, the nerds are going to go out and they're going to get it no matter what. If you're on a budget, you know, you probably might want to look into, if you don't have this and you're interested in it, look into the Dark Horse releases, get on eBay.
It's cool to hear about previously published things being published, but what about things that were never published before?
Yeah, this was a cool, it's cool for me because I've read some of these scripts, but let me back up here just a second. There's a new book.
Piracy!
There's a new book being released. And this was very interesting. The name of the book is called The Star Wars. And the concept of this came about when they went back and they looked at original drafts of Star Wars, you know, when it was in the working phase, so to speak, before it became Episode 4 that we know it to be today.
Yeah, the Book of the Wills or whatever.
Journal of the Wills. Journal of the Wills. Yeah, well, and that's kind of a separate topic. And
why
we'll
do you think
that,
the Wills kept a journal? Do you think it was like a 4th grade project?
Could be.
Like, oh, we had to buy spiral notebooks because we got to keep a journal.
That's right, yeah.
And I got to write it in cursive. It was going to take all day.
Anyway, this author, I guess, got together with some people that had this material, and they put together an actual story based on early drafts of the script. So, kind of an interesting concept. I would be interested in perhaps reading this to see it, because like I said, back in the old days, man, I would download some of these original scripts and things and read them just to see how they change. And some of those early drafts were pretty, pretty out there.
Yeah.
And some of the things that I remember about reading them was just the amount of characters. I mean, there was just a ton of characters. It was just hard to kind of keep track. And there was silly things like Han Solo was originally a big green alien.
Yeah.
And, you know, things like, what was it?
Did he shoot himself or did he shoot himself first?
True.
A new spin on the old
good
standby
question. Let's see. Everybody's some of the other happy. Goofy stuff would be like, General Skywalker had a Padawan learner. He was part of the Jedi Bendu, is what they called it, and his Padawan learner's name was Anakin Starkiller. So they've crafted a novel around these original drafts of these characters. So
is it a novel or a graphic novel?
No, it is a novel. It's an actual book.
I didn't know that, from my understanding. Because the cover art looks very much like it's graphic novel.
Like it could be a graphic. Now, I could be wrong on that. I'll have to go back and double check it. But I remember reading it was actually a novel.
Either way, it's a real interesting insight to the Star Wars that could have been.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing about it, and maybe the discussion topic for you guys. I mean, there's a reason that early drafts are just that, drafts, and don't make it to the final cut, because most of it's crap. So
in a lot of cases, that's true.
All right.
But, you know, there's always stories of all the brilliant things that are left on the cutting room floor, you know, all right, the brilliant right. stuff that's in the waste paper basket that goes by the wayside. Yeah, there's a boatload of crap. If there's right. anything that I think anyone can learn about the entertainment industry as a whole, mm-hmm. is that in the big giant machine that's run by suits and then the few artists who manage to get things through that glut, you're going to want to be glad there's some filters in place.
Yeah,
because right. there's 1,000 people who suck for every right. one person who doesn't,
right.
you know? So yeah, we can kind of beat up on the industry all we want, but you know, yeah, those we might say, oh, there's art there. Yeah. There's some value to looking at that as maybe a history lesson, but
right.
It will be interesting because obviously whoever's putting this into a novelization or whatever it is going to be taking it and saying, all right, how can I make this palatable?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's true. The whole concept. How can I make this feasible?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm interested to see because you're right. It's got to be digestible for a mass audience because you're going to want people to buy the dang thing. Now, obviously, geeks like me who are interested in early drafts and how, you know, they fleshed out and things like that, you know, I could buy it and, you know, enjoy it, you know, even if it isn't a great read,
right.
you know, just to have it, you know, for... You know, like I said, to be able to compare notes to what I know about those early drafts. But
right.
I'm in a big time minority, I think, in that regard. I don't think most people would get or even care about that. So
I mean, that's just my really take don't. On it. I really don't care about it at all, which is weird. I consume a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of Star
so yeah
Wars
so this would. Wouldn't even interest you at all so this not isn't something really, I mean, that you're
if
planning
I,
to
if
pick
I,
up.
On a you know on a percentage scale I'd say 15%.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's always a chance.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
how about you, Garrick? I mean, because you're a big reader and big on...
You like to read things. You like using your reading brains.
Oh, you're ruining my rep.
I'm interested to hear what you have to say about that.
I don't know. It sounds interesting. I guess it's kind of like like an alternate history. To the universe, I don't know. I'm into alternate history of our Earth and whatever. So I don't know. I'd be interested. I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If they had it on Audible,
I was gonna say, man. I was
read by Wedge.
I'd ask Howie, but
if it's read by Wedge, I'll listen to it.
That should be the alternate title for all of our podcasts. If I asked Howie ... Or I would ask Howie, but ... Yeah. So, no offense, Howie just being the least inundated of a Star Wars nerd of all of us.
Yeah,
he's like our barometer for normal people.
For
normal fans. Oh
right.
Yeah, normal
fans.
Yeah.
Exactly. Reel us in.
Qualifier out.
That's definitely where Howie falls on that. I would say I'm kind of mid-range. Corey, I think, knows a little bit more than me, and Garrick is probably the most read out of all of us.
Really define...
There was a time where I felt like I could take Garrick way to task, but that time is past.
Define a normal fan. Of
Star Wars Trivial Pursuit that would disagree with that.
Yeah, I'm still pretty... I never did set fire to that, but it has never been played since.
I really want to revisit this normal fan bit.
Yeah?
Because who out of us... did not buy the $150.
That's true. Howie did buy the $150 Old Republic bun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Drop the mic, Howie. Just drop the mic.
He dropped the mic on Mike.
I dropped the mic on Mike.
I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to offend you.
Hey, speaking of spending entirely too much money on useless crap, it's time for the Toy Report. Yeah. For all you folks who are tired of hearing about stuff that's knowledgeable. Or knowledge related.
My specialty, non-knowledge relatable things.
Well, get out your checkbooks, get back to the Bloodmobile, sell a kid because Garrick's going to tell you what's hot and heavy in the world of toys and collectibles. Yes. Please.
As long as they come in 35-gallon bins.
Hey, what?
Guys.
Yeah.
You know what?
No. What?
Christmas is just around the corner.
What?
Yeah, man.
Christmas in July?
Yeah. According to Hallmark, that is. So I got another little anecdote. So.
Hold on. I'm going to need a minute. The capillaries in my face are bursting. It's getting all itchy.
Oh, wow. Wow. You need to put the filters
Jabba,
on.
Jabba
him,
only Jabba only observes Kwanzaa, guys.
I guess so. Wow. Okay, I'll try to keep this PC. Okay, I got a little story here. So I went into Hallmark, and you know they do their ornament releases in July for some weird reason as like a preview. Well, they, you know, they're known for
I
their
did not
Star
know
Wars.
That. No, I'm going to go ahead and stop you and say, no, I did not know that. Okay, go ahead.
Well, that's not common knowledge. Oh. Yeah, I didn't know that either. The guy told me that happened. But anyway, they, you know, they're known for their Star Wars themed ornaments. I just thought maybe I could give you a preview of what's going on in that area. And if you're like Jabba, who celebrates Kwanzaa, like me, who I celebrate Festivus.
Festivus for the rest of us.
Do you hang ornaments on your aluminum pole or whatever?
I do. Yes.
So if you don't that sounds tricky.
if you celebrate or don't celebrate, there's still pretty cool ornaments they have available. And just kind of like a preview of what they're going to come out with here. So the first one I saw is the one I actually picked up was the Cantina Band. Finger and Dan in the modal nodes.
Yeah. He's not Finger and Dan.
Here we go again.
It's not?
That's the only reason he bought it is because you can say that on air. You know that.
Exactly. You got me. But it includes, I guess, not all the modal nodes, just three of them.
It's Finger and Dan and some of the modal nodes.
Just some of them. Just three of them and Finger and Dan.
Finger and Dan. Finger and Dan and one modal node.
Oh, it has three modal nodes. So there's four modal nodi in Toto, I guess.
Why did you just re-pluralize an already plural word?
I didn't think a modal
three modus was...
Nodes is not the plural.
Nodes is not the plural of node.
Not the proper
what?
Name. I don't know.
Nodry?
I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, yeah, it's a cool figure, and it has a little button you can push, and it plays music.
What music does it play?
What do you think, Corey?
Hopefully it's got a couple of different options.
Of course, you know
I'm a fan of all songs out of the jizz genre, frankly.
Or the jazz. Is it jizz or jazz?
It, anyway, what?
Yeah, you know how I am around, you know, pushing buttons and seeing flashy lights and
things. Yeah.
What's this button do?
Yeah, I went in there, I pushed the button, and there, you know, Hallmark patrons aren't normally our age or gender. But I pushed the button, and there's this, what's that, older lady? Season.
Oh no, you didn't give somebody like she didn't lose her bowels, did she?
No, I pushed it and she's like, "Hey, is that the Star Wars? I saw that back when it came out in the theater with the robots." I'm like, "Ma'am, it's
the
droids."
Theater had robots?
I'm like, "Ma'am, it's droids, not robots."
No, wait, what if she was right? What if the theater actually was staffed by robots? It was a better world in the 70s, gentlemen. Oh. Crime in New York was way higher and everybody had it good.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
There we go.
Yeah. That's what Martin Scorsese taught me.
I need to get a DeLorean.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
That works.
So they got that one and they got a few others. They had a Scout Trooper. He doesn't make any sound, so he sucks.
Yeah.
They have a.
What sound? If a Scout Trooper could make a sound, what sound would it be?
What's that?
Crunch.
Halt, stay where you are. Yeah. Just crunch. I think that would be accurate.
Crunch. Crunch explode. But they had that one. It was cool. Scout Trooper. I like Scout Troopers. They had the Sandcrawler, which had another button I pushed on it that played the scene from right when they're rolling up on the moisture evaporator farm, Luke's farm.
Yeah.
And it plays, you know, at the end it goes, Utini!
I was saying, if it's got it,
if it didn't, I would have complained to the.
You'd have picked it up and thrown it at that one lady?
Yeah.
Here's your robots.
Yeah. Robots.
Yeah.
They got a Lego Boba Fett. He doesn't do anything.
But he's Lego. That's what he does. He is Lego. He does being Lego.
Lego Boba Fett. So yeah, Lego Star Wars is pretty sweet. And then they had a Darth Vader on that at the end of episode 3. You remember when he's on that table that flips up and he's just now Darth Vader.
Yeah. I don't recall that scene. If only it were captured in a thousand memes.
Yeah. Well, good thing it had a button on it so you could relive that scene over and over.
Wow.
the buttons that Garrett pushes.
I need that ornament so every time I open a present that I've already received from someone else, which is a tradition for me, I can hit that button and just go, no! Oh, my word.
I didn't get that one.
You've missed out, my friend.
I know. Maybe I'll go back.
Life decisions.
They had one that was kind of cool. It was a Santa Yoda, which is Yoda in the Santa.
Oh, outfit. Checking it twice he is.
Yeah, it's kind of like one of those motion-sensitive ones that keeps the kids away from the packages.
Oh.
He's like, he plays, I can't remember what he says, but something like, you know, Yoda's syntax. Yeah. Like, away from the presents you were go. Christmas you must wait for. And all this. Like, I don't remember this from the
slaughtering film. Slaughtering younglings, I'm considering. Mom, did you hear that? No, what, dear? I was doing the dishes. And I just, Yoda threatened me.
Why are his eyes glowing red?
And his whole head would be spinning, except he's suspended from it, so it's his body spinning with a bulb attached.
Yeah, it works, though. It works. Keeps him away.
That's great.
And then the last one, I think, that they've announced is the Wampa, as, you know, the snow creature.
Yes. The Yeti, yes. If you will.
Yes. He has two arms, unfortunately.
Well, is one of them removable?
I don't know. I only saw a picture. Maybe.
It's... Yeah, you just like flick it and it flies up. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you one way or another. One way or another, that arm's removable.
They could put him next to the Vader. Anyway.
Well, yeah, someone's wires are crossed.
So,
Vader. No, that's true. Vader killed Wampas in his free time. I don't know if you knew that. It was he was in a league.
Hey, well, the Shadows of the Empire video game.
Yeah.
They were keeping Wampas in the Hoth base.
That's true. They had Wampa pens, which is actually from a deleted scene from Empire where you see 3PO rip the warning sign off the wall and the stormtrooper goes in and rawr, Wampa.
Yep. There you go.
Makes a snack.
Rawr Wampa.
So, rawr Wampa.
Yeah, so
leader of
that.
The Wampas.
Ornaments. They're cool.
Yeah.
Check them out.
Cool.
Yeah. And you know, we've been posting some stuff on our Twitter page about these new Hot Wheels they're announcing every week.
If you've been listening since episode one, Garrett mentioned the fact that Hot Wheels would, you know, was going to be releasing, and we're like, wow, you think they're going to be like the ships, like the Micro Machine, you know, the titanium ships, and that were really cool and all this detail and stuff. And one of us, I don't even know if it was me or who, but one of us said, no, you know what it's probably going to be?
Being totally facetious.
Really stupid rat rod looking things that like just have Yoda ears or something like that. And oh my God.
That's exactly
Hot Wheels
what they
did. Not disappoint.
I really like Star Wars merchandising. I really want to like these really bad.
They are awful. They are just being a snob. I mean, I've from, you know, I'm still kind of half kid at heart. I look at these things and I don't know as a kid. Yeah. Well, at heart, not mind.
Oh.
And as a kid looking at these, I don't know if they would appeal to me any more than just a regular car or even maybe less because they don't make any sense.
I'm serious. My 4-year-old loves cars and I'm contemplating when these hit the shelves, taking them out there and seeing if he has any interest in them.
No. You got to actually buy one and take it out of the packaging. Because the packaging will ruin the experience.
That's a good point.
It's got to be a blind taste test, okay? Yeah, give him a cracker beforehand so it cleanses his palate, and then hand him one of these things. And when he looks at you and goes, or, whatever. You know, but if he freaks out and goes, oh, this car looks marginally like Chewie because it has brown hair and there's a...
It's the Shaggin' wagon.
This pickup truck has an odd crossbow bolt hanging off the back of it.
The Hot Wheels Twitter page, they're releasing a new one, I think, every week. So the first one came out. It's R2-D2 Hot Rod. I'm like, okay, I guess. That's okay. And then the next one was the Yoda, I guess, Mini Cooper or something.
The toy Yoda?
Yeah, the toy Yoda. And I was like, huh. And then this Chewy one came up. I'm like, what the hell?
It's
like a diesel semi truck.
That's kind of where I was. Like, R2-1. That's exactly how I was. The R2-1 was like, all right. The Yoda one was like, meh. And then the Chewy one was like, who is handing out the crack? Who is the office? Do they have like, hey, bagels, crack. And then, you know what? I've got your mail on the cart.
I showed a picture to my wife, you know, she's a huge Star Trek fan. She's like, did they mix Geordi in there? He's got the Geordi visor.
He does. He has a visor and it makes it. And it's like someone in the design of this thing went, it needs a windshield. And no, you're like, happened, really? Because you've kind of departed completely on everything except four wheels at this point.
Well, I mean, what had to happen is this guy, whoever designed the Hot Wheels designer guy, he must have had like a storage box of Hot Wheels and Star Wars action figures somewhere in his mom's attic, and they just melted together. And he's like, huh.
Yeah.
You just wait a minute.
You sit the action figure on top of the die-cast Hot Wheel, and then you just take a torch to it.
Where's my toys? Nailed it. In the attic. Oh, man, they melted together. Wait a minute.
Uh-oh, yeah, the brown hair done dripped down that over the windshield. He ain't got no eyes or nothing. What do eyes do?
I'll just pop a chrome engine in the back. Perfect.
There you go. Slap a visor on him. Yoda. Now he looks cool. Looks like he's from the future and stuff.
Whoa,
huh?
Yeah.
Job well done, boys. Yeah. Oh, my word.
Off I'm the sure, mark, man.
I'm so absolutely sure some people would like that.
Keep trying to like him, Garrick. Let us know
trying
if you get there.
Keep trying.
Keep putting them on. If nothing else, they're fun to laugh at.
Yeah.
They really are.
They're a good conversation piece.
Can we get some people sending us what they should be, art of what they should be?
Actually, I would just like to see people doing even worse ones. If you want to make pictures of other more obscure Star Wars characters in car form, right, that's what I want to see.
Do
you know what I mean?
Post it to Twitter, man. Yeah, we want to see it.
I want to see Salacious Crumb, you know, Harley V-Rod or something like that. Yeah. I want to see a Wookiee Tick or like, you know, a Bantha Bus. I don't know.
Oh,
I
just, there you go. Yeah. Bantha Bus. Perfect.
That's actually probably on the way. Yeah, let's be honest.
Got that one. There
let's
go.
Be honest.
Oh, my. Yeah,
so what else is going on?
Anyway,
in the
moving
Tories?
On. I'm gonna break a story live on the podcast.
Holy cow. Too bad no one's listening live.
You guys are listening.
I'm all ears.
You guys, come on.
Anyway, this is something I've observed from different locations around the city here, and I'm not sure if it's local here or around the country, but the Star Wars Black Series packaging for the 3¾ action figures.
Yeah.
It seems like the glue that holds the bubble shield on is not good. Because
okay,
everywhere I go, the bubble front has peeled off the front, and someone in the back room has taped it back on.
Really?
And I've been, it's not just one
are
store.
All of the Mace Windus missing their.
Well, I was just going to say that. Is Jango Fett's head missing from
everyone?
They're
all missing the Jango Fett head.
I got to bring that up. Okay, so I think, what was it, last couple weeks ago, we mentioned that Twitter follower that posted the Jango Fett head.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, I gotta
Mace
go
Windu
buy
bundled
one
with Jango Fett's decapitated head.
So right. I gotta go buy one, open it up and see if there's actually a head in there.
Yes. have you done your homework assignment, Garrick?
Yes, I did.
There's you actually found one.
I did. Well, first I texted you guys a picture and posted Twitter. First place I went, they did have a Jango Fett, or not Jango Fett, I'm sorry, Mace Windu action figure. And someone had actually physically cut Jango Fett's helmet out of the packaging.
I'm telling
you,
there is someone somewhere making a suit
Fett
out of Jango Fett heads, like Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs.
I mean, who does
and eventually
that?
He's going to kidnap the actor and put him in a pit in his basement.
I don't want the whole figure. I just want the head.
I know.
I don't want to pay full price for that. I just want that. But yeah, I did actually buy one that did come complete with Jango Fett's head, and there's no head in it. I was very disappointed.
So it's just the helmet, not the head.
Crap.
Okay. Yeah. That's a shame. Wow. A missed opportunity. Missed yeah opportunity. He could have had X's for eyes.
Oh,
you know, and the
perfect
tongue hanging out.
Yeah. It's like a robot chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Black Series packaging, I don't think it's good. I think they're falling apart on their own.
Well, that's a shame because they're charging more for those than the other.
I was
going to
say that's those are kind of more collectible than about
value
anything they're putting out there.
That's right. They retain their value, but not. I guess I don't know.
Not going to retain them that well if they're all falling out.
Solution of glue or something. Yeah.
Hmm. Maybe it's so humidity. I blame global warming.
As a collector, I'm serious about this, Garrick. As a collector, you buy one of these and the glue fails. Obviously, yeah. Everybody knows that to retain value on these, they need to be packaged. Is there got something it. That someone could do? I mean, do you risk re-gluing it yourself? Or
I wouldn't do it because you could probably tell that if, unless you're really good at it. And yeah. You can find a glue that's not going to eat away at the packaging.
Glue stick.
Yeah.
Glue stick. Perfect.
There it is. There's the answer I'm to sure all your problems.
Went to like a
and peanut butter and chewing gum.
If you went to a professional toy restore, like on Toy Story 2, that old
yeah.
guy.
Yeah, that you, guy. If you call him.
Call him up.
Yeah. He's a little shady.
No, I need you
wasn't
here.
Wasn't that John
tonight.
Lasseter? Wasn't he the voice of that guy?
If you keep playing with it, it won't last or whatever.
Yeah, so this
sound a lot like
Roz
from Monsters, Inc. That was John Lasseter as well. You know, Roz.
Mike Wazowski, that character.
Did you turn in your paperwork?
That's the dude who's now like the EP of every Disney animated film. So just a little side note. Yeah. It's all Disney up in here. Welcome to Dizcast.
Hey. What'd you think of Frozen?
Oh, my heart just leapt.
The secret is love.
Come on,
the
just
secret
let it go.
Is love.
Let it go.
Love is the secret.
Love is an open door, I hear.
Last thing, Hasbro's releasing. I think it's Hasbro. Yeah, they're releasing a gigantic Millennium Falcon that. Does nothing but
big.
What do you mean it does nothing? It don't make salads or nothing?
I think the quad lasers might move, but that's really
it does but nothing.
I mean,
it has no buttons.
I think no, it doesn't do anything. I just told you that. But Mike posted a picture on it, and this is why I was bringing it up. And one of our Twitter followers actually posted, I don't know if they did this by hand, but they had a model of the Millennium Falcon that took up their entire garage.
Actually one of those. Yeah. I believe if I'm remembering right, that the picture that she posted was actually, this is maybe 10 years ago, even I believe those were models like store models that they would put out. You know, and I don't know what line they were advertising and whatever.
Those ones actually used to hang from the ceilings in the back
right.
top corner of the toy
right.
stores. Yeah.
And people, those are collectible. And I guess people have gone out there and, you know, and bought those from stores and all that stuff. So I believe when I saw that picture, I was like, where have I seen that before? And it just hit me that
it was the Millennium Falcon. That's where.
Oh.
No, I believe the picture she posted. And actually, I was just looking to see if I could get her Twitter handle so we could throw it out there.
Howie's got it. Howie wants
Darth
to contribute.
Daisy.
What?
Darth Daisy, right.
Yeah.
Right.
What a wonderful name.
It is.
It's awesome. And it's on an 8-foot-long table, and it takes up the whole length.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's huge.
That's commitment. That's what I like to see. Good hustle, Daisy.
Yeah.
So yeah, Darth Daisy has, and I believe and maybe if she listens to this, she could confirm that if that's what it is or if it's something else. But that to me, that looks like
unless it's made of like 10 years worth of toenail clippings or something. In which case, we don't need. Actually, yes, we still need to know. That would be awesome. So just either way is good.
Yeah. So yeah, it was pretty sweet that she posted that. But
cool.
Yeah.
So, well, hey,
that's that.
Speaking of Twitter followers, we got a question this week.
What?
Question came in from Barrios94. Mike, what did Barrios94 want
Barrios.
All of? What?
Barrios.
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 And maybe it's not even, you know, we're automatically trilling the R as if we can just assume that this is a Latin American or Spanish language person.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you just go join the Force Cast over there?
No, I'm going to. Yeah, actually, I think there was some. They don't like Latin people.
Yeah, that's right. Remember,
let's offend everybody.
I think I think there was some discussion back and forth on this, and Garrett kicked in. He's probably going to be the authority on this. But the question that we had come in. Was who is Anakin's father? Who do we think that Anakin's father was? And
I think the easy answer to that question is the Force, because right. You know, Smee,
more
Smee
less,
says that there is no father. You know,
right? There's no father. Watto. There is. You know.
So is this Watto. A hypothetical? Is
it's
this?
An,
a,
it's an allegory, of, obviously, to the virgin birth of you know a Christ figure. Blah blah blah. I mean, that's the easy answer. You're right, but I believe Garrick. You
go ahead, please.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, Garrick, I mean, there's actually a deeper explanation or more explanation kind of. There than
Yeah, in the Darth Plagueis novel, which I'm not sure is canon still, it might be relegated to Legends now, but in the Darth Plagueis novel, just a little backstory, it's Darth Plagueis is Darth Sidious, the Emperor's master, who trains him in the ways of the Sith.
And he mentions him, he talks about that in episode 3.
That's kind of why I'm unsure if this book is canon or not. So what I'm saying might not be true, but that's what it was.
What I'm saying was may be coming
maybe,
out of my butt.
But Darth Plagueis has this great, obviously has this grand scheme to take over the universe. The only problem is he needs to tip the balance of the Force toward the dark side, as right now with all the Jedi, it's obviously on the light side. So what he does, he brings Sidious in and they meditate. And it's kind of in the book, it's unclear what the whole procedure is. It's just, from what I remember, they just went in and meditated for a little while. They came back. And I think they tried to create a weapon from the dark Force energy and failed. But what they ended up doing is tipping the balance of the Force toward the dark side. Well, the Force, as it's stated in the book, needs balance. It can't be tipped one way or another. So in order to maintain that balance, it created a Force being who would eventually balance out the Force in the end, which was Anakin Skywalker in Smee's tummy.
See, I thought you were going to say Smee was actually a whore. That's what I was expecting.
Well, that's another explanation.
Yeah.
She was the answer before she was a slave.
She was lying because she didn't want to get in trouble. She'd been sleeping with Watto and Kidster's dad.
Saboba hit that.
Yeah, you know he did.
He hit everything.
Yeah. Please.
That's why Anakin hated him so much. He was like an estranged father figure.
That's why he built 3PO, because I want you to be my dad.
You be my dad?
Wizards.
Question.
So you gotta get it in every podcast, every episode.
It's like a metaphysical explanation for the origin of Anakin Skywalker, but that's, I think it's
so Garrick. Let me ask you this, because I have not read the Darth Plagueis novel. Do they have any indication that Sidious knows or understands that Anakin Skywalker is the product of this meditation or whatever they did, or is it just happenstance that he runs across to Anakin?
I think. From later
nothing happens by accident, bro.
Yeah.
There is only the Force.
Not with Palpatine, that's for sure.
There is only the Force.
I haven't read this book since it originally came out. It was a couple of years ago, so my memory might be fuzzy, but I don't believe they knew. I think they were trying to do something different, and the results of what they were doing ended up with Anakin being conceived.
An unforeseen result.
Yeah, an unforeseen. I don't think.
So it was the will. Maybe, oops. So it was the will of the Force then that Anakin came to.
And I'm saying the Force because I don't want to say midichlorian.
please don't say midichlorians.
So I know. So people who just read the book are like, midichlorian who wanted to balance out the Force, which it was. I don't want to say midichlorian. It was the Force. Shut up. So
now I don't want to finish reading those books, and I just started them.
I don't think Sidious maybe even put together till he heard about the prophecy that the Jedi had him, or maybe until he discovered Anakin and the power he had. I don't think he actually knew, or maybe even then he didn't know. I don't know. I haven't read any of the prequel books except that one.
Gotcha.
It's a good read still. I mean, it gives a lot of backstory to episode 1, which almost makes it enjoyable.
I would say if you could weave some more threads of continuity into that, that's my guilty pleasure. I like being able to connect dots. That would make it maybe a little more palatable.
There's a lot of retconning in that book. A lot. That and Balance of Power, I believe, is the one that takes place before it or right after it. Also ties a lot of those loose ends up from episode 1.
Cool.
They're worth a read. It's a pretty enjoyable book.
Nice.
So cool. So hopefully Barius 94, we tackled that a little bit for you there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel tackled.
I feel, yeah. I bet Shmi felt tackled.
Always balance in the Force.
Shmi felt tackled by the Force.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a good thing there's a "the" in that statement, because if she was tackled by Force, it gets darker.
Yeah.
It really does. So.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of darker, over in the UK where it's cloudy all the time.
Well, no,
did
hey,
you really set that up for the segue? Is that why you did that?
No.
That's hey, like high-fiving yourself.
Hold up, Corey, before you do this.
I did not set up a rape joke for a segue.
Oh, my God.
I only realized once the rape joke came out that there was an opportunity for a segue. So hold I was up, trying to up. Make I was trying to make lemonade out of a rotten carcass of a joke.
Just to be clear, we're not making jokes about rape.
No, of course not. No.
Corey, before we do this, though, I think we need to back up and do rumors. We haven't done rumors yet.
Oh, heavens. Rumors. We haven't done rumors. Oh, rumor no. theme
We've
music.
Done some rumors.
Da 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 da. Rumors. Okay. What are the rumors?
We were kind of home stretch, and I'm like, no, wait.
That was awesome.
I'm gonna die. I can probably do better than that. Hold on, I gotta click around real quick.
What do you mean click?
I don't know what I mean.
Oh, jeez.
Rumors.
Rumors.
They're ominous. These rumors.
Prepare yourselves for the rumors.
All right. Now it's all set up, Mike. I'm going to lob it over to you.
Thank you. That was about as smooth of a segue as I've ever heard. That was awesome.
You didn't even hear it. You didn't even know I was there. You're totally like, what? Rape jokes? Oh, we're talking about rumors. What happened?
Okay,
just to
rumors.
Clarify again, we're not doing rape jokes.
Who did a rape joke?
Nobody did.
This whole thing is turning into a rape joke. That's the sad part.
We need to tack a disclaimer to the beginning of this episode, I think.
That's right.
Explicit tags. All right, rumors this week. We got two of them I want to talk about today. The first one is kind of a news report followed by a rumor, so let's jump right into that. First off, Brian Muir, who is known for his work on the original trilogy and probably most known for being the person that actually sculpted the original Stormtrooper and Vader's helmets, has signed on to episode 7. So
is that a rumor or that's confirmed?
That is confirmed. That's in there, and he is on board and has tweeted as such and seems very excited about being part of the project. So now with him, of course, being on board, the rumor mill goes crazy. And of course his involvement with developing the Vader helmet, you know, people started chatting. Oh, I wonder if Vader's going to return. I wonder what's going to happen there. Blah, blah,
I
blah.
Don't know if they know this, but he already developed that helmet. That already happened. Oh, maybe Vader's coming back. Maybe he's going to develop the helmet again.
I know. This that's maybe where, that's where some of the goofiness kind of gets into some of this. But anyway, as it turns out, though, there might possibly be some truth to this.
You shut your mouth.
I don't know if he's going to remake the Vader helmet. Maybe it'll be, I don't know. You know, a little bit different this
time. It's going to be white this time.
It'll be white. There we go.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, because he turned his light side, right?
Yeah.
That's so he's going to be Vader great. In a white.
There is
a
comic
uniform.
Book where that happened in Vader.
I know.
Wear white.
I remember it. I saw it.
Thing.
Anyway, so what has happened
I wouldn't have known.
As soon as this report came out that he had joined on and people started theorizing about this, well, now suddenly there's a report. Again, this is a pure rumor. This is somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody that's on the, you know, the production staff said that on set there in the UK at Pinewood Studios that a certain Vader uniform has been spotted on set. Now, it didn't sound like that from what I understand, the description of the uniform was that it was charred and burnt and things like that. So it's probably the speculation, if this is true, of course, the speculation comes out now that...
The speculation is that Luke Skywalker is no better at starting a freaking campfire than I am. That is the speculation.
No, that thing was burning pretty good.
Nailed it.
He didn't have the box of envelopes that it takes to actually fuel a proper fire.
Box of envelopes, yes. That would be a way to start a fire.
That would, no, not me. I was off repairing the power steering on the Jeep. Garrett could fill you in on starting a fire with a box of envelopes.
They burn green.
Nice.
Memories.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
all right. So anyway, so the rumor and speculation now is that if this is true, if the costume has been you know, spotted on set, you know, what does that mean? You know, what role would he play? Blah blah blah. The speculation, of course, comes in now, and we've discussed this in the past. So I'm gonna throw it out there for you guys to see what you think about this. The whole idea of flashbacks. We keep going back to this this possibility that, you know, there's going to be flashbacks in this movie, which traditionally hasn't been the case in the past with the original trilogy and with the prequels. So with this, you know, it's, you know, is it a scene where, you know, Vader comes back in some kind of flashback, or, you know, or is some kind of, you know, nightmarish, you know, type, you know, situation where, you know, somebody is experiencing him, like that type of thing. Hello?
Like a force dream?
Oh, yeah, right. So anyway, reaction, thoughts? Sorry, I thought I lost you guys there.
Because we were decidedly quiet for longer than we ever are.
It was weird.
We were intently listening. Well, that's what the rumors do to us, man.
Gotcha.
It doesn't have to be a flashback. I mean, if it's the charred, you know, workings of the Vader suit, that's fine. Maybe they were scraping it for DNA to try to make a Vader clone. I sure hope that isn't the case, because that it seems like a little too easy. Yeah, I know. You know, maybe this one will have a Kiwi accent. Seems like that's, but I mean, at the same time, I mean, Abrams stuck Khan's people in torpedoes. I mean, he's not impervious to just kind of bad ideas. Cause I don't think he's as hot and heavy into the story as he is into the actual craft and execution.
Well, here's my two cents. Yeah. I mean, you got 30 years to catch up on. So what's the harm in doing a quick catch up at the very beginning of the film, right, where you, I guess the smoldering remains of Vader's suit are sitting there. You just kind of fast forward real quick to where, I guess, the movie will start to take place 30 years later.
Right. I thought about that too. I wonder if you don't just start right there at Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
I mean, literally right there. There's a lot
of things that could happen in 30 years.
That's true. And just kind of maybe do it in like a montage with some real heavy 80s rock.
Maybe,
you know,
some Fly Me to the Moon.
Yeah. There you go.
Fly Me.
Actually, I think what it is, what that suit is for, is that Han Solo is at he's in someone's apartment, and he's looking at their private art collection, and they're like, "What do you think of this, Mr. Solo?" And it turns around, and it's like hanging there all charred, and he goes, "It belongs in a museum." Oh! I should be writing for a living, kids.
There you go. Nailed it.
Knocked it out of the park.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
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 Right next to the Jar Jar frozen in carbonite.
That was dropping the Jar Jar. We dropped him. We got to pick him back up again. Wait, hold on. Here we go. There we are.
Oh.
Oh, man. He looks better this way. He looks way better. There we go. That's an improvement. Hey, look. Hey, you know the best thing about this Jar Jar? Mouth doesn't move.
That is canon, though.
Yeah. I've seen a couple of custom multiplayer maps for games where people have put it Jar Jar frozen in carbonite decorating the walls.
It was in The Force Unleashed, the first one.
It was, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, so it's canon.
Very pleased.
And I'm
briefly
sticking to it.
It was Easter egg canon.
Yes, Easter egg canon.
Cool.
It counts.
Yeah, absolutely. What else is going on in rumors?
Rumors. Okay. Well, the next one that I have, and this one's kind of out there a little bit, and I guess just want to get reaction for you guys. There has been a discovery of some character trailers that are being developed, and we see these from time to time. And I think they did them on the last trilogy, where they would, you know, produce a trailer based around a character,
right,
for the movie. And one of these trailers that are under development is listed as, or the name that's attached to it is Kira, K-E-I-R-A, or K-I-R-A. I can't remember what the spelling was.
If it's K-I-E-R-A.
Kiera.
Or, yeah.
Kira.
Kira.
Yeah.
Not Padme.
Not
Padme. Padme, body double.
Be Kira Knightley. Kira Knightley. Yeah, body double, yeah. So anyway, so the theory among the rumor mill and among the nerds is that this is possibly a character name for Daisy Ridley, which, if you'll recall, Daisy Ridley has been theorized from the beginning to be the daughter of Han Solo and Princess Leia. And I know a lot of the expanded universe geeks, along with us, are kind of hoping that, you know, that she would be given the character name of Jaina Solo. So, yeah. So I guess reaction, if this is true, that's to fine. See that, yeah. I know, Corey. That's what I figured with Corey. He's pretty much just going to say that you pulled the Band-Aid off and yeah, that's it.
I'm the pickiest person I know, but when it comes to stuff like this, I'm like, yeah, yeah, sky's the limit.
Yeah.
And beyond, really. We are talking about space.
To me, though, this kind of seems a little suspect, and I'll tell you why. Because they've been so tight-lipped about all of these character names. I mean, the only ones they haven't, of course, are the obvious, that, you know, Luke, Han, and Leia.
Right.
You know, so for them to be this careless to let out, a true character name, you know, like this, seems a little suspect to me. You know, I don't know. I have my doubts about it, but. But nothing, no disappointment. And if this is true,
I don't know, Garrick, what are you thinking? You really clinging to the Jaina Solo concept?
Well, even if her name's Kira, there's no guarantee she's actually Solo's daughter.
Yeah. See, everybody's just theorizing that too. Nobody knows that for sure.
I doubt they would put, you said this was on the outside of their trailer or around their trailer, the name?
This some kind of packaging of some sort was labeled, and I don't know the details on it. I really don't.
I doubt
this
they
was
would
just
label something so obvious.
Yeah, so brazenly, right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and if they do, I mean, go back to you know, Boo Harvest. I mean, you know, it would seems to me if they're doing stuff like this. Yeah, misdirection. They're using, you know, nicknames or code names of some sort.
Because Kira rhymes with Jaina. So there's that.
Kira was also the name of the actress who was the body double for Padme.
That's exactly right.
I feel so like that more than anything would make it suspect in that regard.
She's playing Padme. Right.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
It's a trailer for Sabe. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, all of the things that you guys are saying are what I'm saying. Absolutely.
I did no such thing.
So I think that says it all. Yeah. Apparently that was a someone's here to pick up Jabba.
Jabba, you gotta go.
Hello there.
Oh yeah.
Bye.
Looks like Jabba's got Zero the Hutt just came to pick him up and take him.
wait, Zero's dead.
What about Solarine?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you anything about it.
Did you say, what about Soylent Green?
I believe so.
Soylent Green? Are you kidding?
You can order Soylent on the internet now. That's true. So.
You really mean that?
Yeah, yeah. All right. Let's get, okay, that's enough. That's enough. Why don't you two
all
get
right.
going?
Bye, Jabba. See you later. Bye.
Bye, Zero, I guess. So, well, that was an adventure, and hopefully this whole thing's been an adventure for our listeners, a nice long thick meaty adventure, as you've joined us for our fourth episode of our wonderful new podcast. And of course, what you're going to want to do, like we've said before, follow us on Twitter at flycasual1138, and you're going to want to tweet us your Unity haikus, hashtag Latin force to encourage Latino Review and the Force Net to make up, get along, kiss and make up.
Now
hold
let's
hands.
Let's make sure we got it's hashtag Latino Force, right?
Not hashtag Hashtag Latin Force.
Latin Force?
Latin Force was what I said originally.
Yeah,
Latin Force. All right. Hashtag Latin Force. And send us your haikus to encourage them to stand holding hands in the twin sunset.
Yep.
That's what we want. That's what we want to happen. We want everyone to just have mad hippie love for each other.
And send us your wonderful Hot Wheels.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Images.
Yes.
That is your homework for this week.
I'm going to, what sucks is now I'm going to need to find time because I'm already getting inspired.
Don't forget to name them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
you have to give your Hot Wheels, you know, Photoshop. A name. So we also would like
Photoshop.
To see those. Well, yeah, no.
It can be hand drawn.
Garrick has proven time again that amazing things can be done with Microsoft Paint.
Oh, yeah.
And when I say amazing, I don't
mean
photorealistic by any stretch of the imagination.
I'm a paint master.
So, yes, an old master of Microsoft Paint. And also, of course, join us on Facebook where the fun continues at facebook.com/flycasualpodcast. So, hey, I actually managed to get through the, everything
without
Corey. I was holding up cue cards.
Yeah. Howie's over there. He's actually fanning me because this room is up about 95 degrees with all the computers running in it. Since I did actually get through the Twitter and the Facebook without mentioning the other podcast, I would also like to encourage listeners, of course, if you're into gaming, to our sister podcast, Press Play to Save, I encourage you to go out and listen to that one. All of these can be found at betterkind.com or wherever you found.
52 is the best.
What's that?
I heard episode 52 is the best. Yeah.
Why is that? Why would you hear such a thing?
I don't know. Some people have said.
To find out why Garrick thinks episode 52 is the best, listen to episode 52 of Press Play to Save. And wherever you got this podcast, you can get that one too. So in the meantime, send us more of your questions, your comments. Hit us up with just random thoughts of the day because, yeah. Hey, we're monitoring that Twitter feed like nobody's business.
Hey, and rate us.
Really, like it's everybody's business.
Rate us and tell us what you think of us.
Yes.
Yeah, please be sure. Yeah, we need to get some ratings, guys. Right. So help us out. Yeah.
Have on the iTunes and Stitcher and wherever else. And hey, if you're wanting to get us in your favorite podcast app and we're not there yet, let us know. Howie's already been on the ball. Yeah. When someone tweeted in and said, hey, I'm looking for you guys podcast, but I use this thing and it's not there. Within an hour and a half, Howie goes, okay, it should be in a couple hours. It's all set up. And the guy's like, yeah. Wow. You know, I don't remember the guy's Twitter handle. I probably should have looked that up. But we're on the ball. We want to be there for you guys. We're for the listeners.
Yes, exactly.
It's a labor of love, guys. Everybody hug.
Yeah. Stop touching me.
Aww, I want on, to be your Howie. Neighbor.
A little bit of man love.
No, stop it. Stop it.
In the meantime, hey, everybody, thanks for joining us. At some point, we are going to have to come up with a way to outro this heavy beast. I'm not sure if that was Howie or if Jabba just came back in the room.
I think you need to sign off with Howie's Wookie roar. we threatened him with that before.
We
did. Want people to come back though.
Yeah.
Ouch, man.
Oh, sorry.
Oh. Yeah, it's better than your toy report.
Oh.
Wow.
Gauntlet Throne.
Oh, I'm getting better.
Just give it time, man. Give it time. Actually, you know, there is one more thing I want to... We can go out on this. Last episode, there was some discussion where my understanding of how Jack Tano Porkins...
Tano.
Tano Porkins passed away. And some misunderstanding of what he said, what his dying words were. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'll ask you to remove your hats, but not your headphones, and have a moment of silence as we sign off. Thanks again for joining us, Mr. Porkins. Would you please?
Jet,
I can hold it.
Pull up.
No, I'm all right.
It's not funny.
It's better every time. See you next time, everybody.
See ya.